Very interesting when you read the Gospels to note how many times when the Lord Jesus was speaking that he refers to great numbers of people. Sometimes they're referred to as multitudes, and as is the case over in Matthew chapter 23, they're referred to really as a whole group of people. And I think in Matthew 23, when the Lord is referring to them, it is one of the saddest portions that we turn to find him referring to any large group of people. I'll read to you what it says there. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." Here are people, and the hand of outreach has been reached out to them. And the heart of love of God's people has gone out to them, and a message from the Lord that could change them. And it says here, "Thou stonest them which are sent unto thee." That was foolishness. It was neglecting of the things which are most important. It goes on to say there, "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her." Not only was there outreach, but there was opportunity after opportunity. And they neglected them all. And whatever the reasons were, they had turned away from God's offer of mercy. And then this Sunday evening, in our Free Presbyterian churches, even as we, if we confine ourselves to our denomination alone, there are people sitting, and they have been reached time and time again, time without number, and time and again, they too have had great opportunity to come to the Lord, and they have turned away. It says there, "Even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not." Ye would not. Some of the saddest words that the Lord ever uttered regarding any group of people. On another occasion he said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." And you will note in both of those occasions that I have just mentioned that the Lord Jesus is speaking on hindsight. And he's looking back and he's saying, "Ye would not come to me," it's past tense, "that ye might have life." And in the portion we looked at in Matthew 27, he's looking out towards the city and he's looking to them and he's saying, "How many times has my word been reached out to you?" The offer of goodness and grace and love and mercy was there, but you've pushed it away time after time. But in the passage that we're looking at tonight, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, the verse is verse 36. And he's speaking here about a multitude that there is hope for. Because you will notice here in verse 37, 38, and right down into chapter 10, he is asking people to pray. He's pointing out the need that there is, and then he's sending individuals to go out. So those who he refers to in verse 36, they are the multitude. And it says concerning them there, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Isn't it very easy this evening to read these words and to look at them in an Eastern context and to think, well, we know how it was. Lots of people in those days, even those who initially showed an interest in the Lord, they turned away from him. And when it came to turning from him or turning to him, they chose to turn away. Well, when you look at these words very carefully, folks, they're right up to date. And the Lord Jesus, we believe, looks in at groups of people tonight. And he still looks upon groups of people in the same way, in that there is hope for them. Yes, there are those who have gone. And with them there are opportunities. and all of the offers that came their way, and many of the preachers that brought the message, they have gone as well. And that's all in the past. But I want to look at this verse tonight and apply it to right now, and how the Lord sees the multitudes of people, again, we've confined it to Northern Ireland. And he sees them just as he saw them then. And there's something I want you to think about through the remainder of the message. It is really a question, and it is the title of the message. Are you one of this multitude? We read about them again. It says there, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Are you one of the multitude? Well, I want to speak to you about a few things concerning that multitude, and you can think that over in your own mind. I want you to notice, first of all, there is here a sketch of the multitude. He gives us some information about them. You see, the one thing about the Lord Jesus was this. He saw things, situations, and people as they really were. Sometimes I tell folk that maybe I'm in this job because I've been a bit naive, and that to this day, I love to take people at face value. And almost in a foolish way, I love to believe what I hear. And it's a nice way to live, thinking that you can believe everything that people tell you, and you can take everything at face value. But I've learned so many lessons along the way. It hasn't hardened me. It has just taught me. And it has shown me that no one can look upon the heart but the Lord. And when he looked upon these people, he saw much more than their faces. He saw right down into their hearts. And he could see the fear that no one else could see. And he could see the hurt that life without Christ had brought to them. Now, that may not have been evident to others who were looking at them, but he gives us this description of them that shows us that life itself had brought hurt their way. Because in this sketch of the multitude, he shows us first of all here that they were burdened. Do you see in verse 36 where it says they fainted? Well, the word fainted there is a word, it's not something that happens to you on a hot day or if you're in a big crowd of people and you faint. I remember one time, I think maybe I mentioned before, in our assembly in Kilgamain Junior High School in Portadown, and we were just in September, still roasting hot, and I heard thumps several times, and that was several of the children, just like me. It was a child then, they had fainted and fell onto the ground. That's not what it means. The word here, fainted, literally means to skin. Now, certainly animals are skinned, but it'd be the height of wickedness to skin them alive. Well, that is the thought here. To flay or to skin, it carries a wider meaning of being troubled, also being battered, being torn apart, and being extremely exhausted. Here are people, and anyone would come to the conclusion that they do not have peace, but each one of them carries a burden that life itself has brought their way, and they feel like those who had been skinned. It also carries the meaning of being harassed by circumstances. So the Lord puts it very accurately when he uses the word fainter to describe them as those who are greatly burdened. In fact, a deeper meaning of that word is gives the idea of struggling under a great burden. Struggling under a great burden. I was just going to say something funny there. It's a bit like me when I go shopping with Cherith carrying all her bags. You know how it is, man. Struggling under a great burden, but folks, in the context here, it is the burden of sin. Way back about 18 years ago now, or 17 anyway, when I was over preaching in Liverpool, coming over from Bridlington in Yorkshire over to Liverpool to preach, and we're over really early, I am always like to be places early, and the man that was coming with me driving, he's even worse. So we're there half a day before we needed to be. But we went away down from the church, down the street, and we come back to the car grieved. No one said anything to us. But all the way down the street and up it again, you could smell the alcohol already from places that weren't open or that were open. But at several other public houses, people were queuing up. And when you looked upon those people, of course, some of them nodded to us and they said hello. But when we looked upon them, we saw them as those who were burdened. And I remember Brian and I coming back to the car and saying, I've never been down a street quite like that one before. There just seemed to be so many people there. And the fact that they were in the pubs, coming out of the pubs, queuing up at the pubs, and that was just one part of it. They looked so burdened. They were hurting from what life had brought them. Probably disappointment. Sin had tripped them up. It had caught them out. It had fooled them. It had held them for all their days. And now they were coming to the pub to see if they could do anything about it. People who were burdened. Over there in Matthew's Gospel as well. And chapter 11, and this time in verse 28. The Lord knew all about these things, all about these burdens. And on this occasion, he's given an invitation. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The whole picture of that verse is of weariness in and of the world. In and of the world. And men and women, there's no doubt tonight that that is what life brings to you. In this sketch of the multitude, the Lord uses the word fainted to describe those who are burdened in all the ways that I mentioned, and they're hurting. But not only does he see them as burdened, he sees them as wounded, because sin is very capable. Not only does it burden you, but it afflicts you. And you will see there in verse 36 in Matthew 9, he says they fainted and were scattered abroad. Now, the word scattered there, if you look at it, is a word that describes seed being cast to the wind. A few times I've been sowing the lawn just with my hand. And I know enough to know that there's no point in going out on a blowy day and throwing the seed to the wind, because it will go anywhere apart from where you want it. It'll be all over the place. It will not be in the right place. And that is what the reference here it is to. It is to those who are cast down and unable, the thought is unable to go in a particular direction because of a wind. Because of a wind. Now, we talked about going around the river yesterday at Tullymoor. It dried up and it was lovely. But if someone had broken their leg the day before, there's no one there would have expected you to be walking around the river. You couldn't go because of a wound. And understandably, that wound would hold you back. And remember the Lord here, he saw these people as sheep having no shepherd. If a sheep is wounded, a sheep is a jumpy enough animal, but if a sheep falls on its back, it will probably die on its back because it cannot right itself. That's one thing about sheep. And so it is with men and women who are out of Christ. Sin wounds. Sin wounds, and because of sin wounds, you will never be able to right yourself. That puts us in a position where we have no hope. So we're not only those who are burdened, but he's looking here upon those who are wounded by sin. People struggling all around us. Did you ever stand in a busy street in Belfast or somewhere and just watch? You can almost feel the struggle of people just, it really, and I mean this respectfully, it is like a rat race. Just struggling on, and there seems to be that feeling of hopelessness and aimlessness about. And it's times like that, wherever you are, you just lift your heart to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. that I know the Lord. Over there in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul was writing to that church. He reminds the Christians there of what they were, that they were brought to life, they were quickened when they were dead in trespasses and sin. And then he says a little bit about the past. He says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." And we've looked at that before, saying that it refers to the spirit of the age. And that's the way so many seem to walk today. And when you walk that way, you get sin wounds. But I looked at the verse just recently again, and it says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, that's the devil. And Paul here is not being overly harsh on the people. He's saying, brethren and sisters, because that's what they are now, he says, this is how it was with you. Not only did you fall in with the spirit of the age, but you were under, and I'm sure many of them were disturbed when they actually thought of it this way. They were walking according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Is it any wonder that the word here, scattered, that the is used, is referring to being wounded, and the sin wound being such that you're unable to go in a particular direction? I know a lot of people don't come to church these days. But at the same time, I think it's right to say, and I do be talking to quite a lot of people throughout any given year, there's so many people who would like to change. They would like something different. So many people caught up in habits and they would love to kick it. They can't. So many people got into that way of living that they feel that they're just going to live and die as they are. So when the Lord looks out and he gives this sketch here of these people, he says that they fainted, meaning that they, as we've already mentioned, that they were burdened, troubled, battered, bruised, torn apart, exhausted, hurting. But they were also wounded, as the word scattered means. But they were without direction, because he says there they were as sheep without a shepherd. As I said, sheep are not the brightest animals. Can't leave them without a shepherd for very long while out in the mountainside. But they will, if they want to be brought anywhere or directed anywhere, they will need someone to do it for them, a shepherd with his dog or dogs. Because of themselves, they cannot find their way. Does not remind you of what it says in Isaiah's prophecy? All we like sheep have gone astray. All right? Gone astray in our thoughts. Thoughts that we didn't intend to think. Gone astray in our determination to do our own thing. Gone astray in allowing others to and their lifestyle to affect us. So as I give this sketch here of the multitude that I'm asking you, are you one of the multitude? As I give this sketch here, he speaks of them as those who are burdened, those who are wounded, those who are without real purpose in life. And sheep that are without real purpose and have no one to direct them, they weary and they wander about. And eventually, if no one directs them properly, sheep will die. They must be taken care of. As we come to the end of this first point, I asked you the question again, are you one of the multitude? It's a very fair and a very accurate description of men and women without the Lord. Men and women without the Lord. There is a sketch of the multitude, but there is secondly the sympathy for the multitude. You see what it says there? It says in verse 36 that he saw the multitude. He saw a whole lot of things. But the thought here is that he took an interest in them. And they caught his attention. And he was concerned for them. Over in Romans chapter 5, I'll read what it says there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Verse 8. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If we are yet sinners, that only means one thing, we're sinking deeper into it. And there's a bigger hold on us today than it had yesterday. And maybe it appeals to our hearts more than it did yesterday. But not only are we sinking deeper into it, we are hardening as this sin becomes part and more and more part of our lives. And there's something else. We always have no merit. And that is where we were when the Bible tells us here, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did he do it? Because he looked down the corridors of time, person, and he saw your need and mine. He saw the wounds. He saw the wandering about without real purpose. He saw the fainting and the burdens that men and women had in their sin. And he came and he died for us. And you know, he still sees people tonight. He sees all of us here in the meeting. But unsaved person, he sees you just as you are. And he sees everything about you. But he sees you with concern and with interest and with sympathy. And that brings me to another thought here. Not only does he have an interest in you, but he sees you with affection. Because do you see what it says there in the verse? It says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He knew their misery. He felt greatly for their need. And because of that, his heart went out to them. The word there means to have a great pity for someone or to express a great sympathy for someone. And that is what he was doing. Sinner, unsaved person, the Lord Jesus cares. He cares. Maybe you've hardened yourself over the years and you think, well, I'll look after myself because not many other people seem to care. Well, if that is the case, and I hope it's not, he cares. He cares because we have here the sympathy that he had for the multitude. Was that not well expressed in Matthew 27 when he stood and cried over Jerusalem? And he thought of the mother chicken, the way they, in a selfless way, they gather all the little chicks around, and if you want to kill those chicks, you need to kill mommy first. And he's saying, I would just have gathered you all like that, but you didn't want to know. Was that not sympathy at its highest that we see there? Well, we see it here again. When he saw them, he was moved with compassion. He had an interest in them. He had compassion upon them, but the word moved is there. Do you see the word moved? That means that it led him to do something. It led him to do something. And he says then to his people, the harvest out there is great. Pray for people to go out. And then in chapter 10, the very people that were praying, he sends them out. Now, what is that relevance for right now? Well, the relevance for now is that there are people here in the congregation, the Lord has saved them. He's shown them the need of the harvest around here, and he sent them to invite you in and to pray for you and to constantly bring your need before the Lord. And just as he sent the disciples out so long ago into the harvest field, remember what we're saying at the very beginning here, that this was for now. Still hope here. The multitudes were there. In Matthew 27, they're gone. He's crying over them. There seems to be no hope for them. Of others, he said, ye will not come to me that you might have life. The Bible tells us he came to his own and his own received him not. But here he's looking, he's saying, listen, there's hope for these people, but you need to pray. And then he says to the same people, now you go. And people here, unsaved person, with all the imperfections that we do have, there are people who pray for you. And people who constantly pray that the Lord will bring about circumstances in your life that you will come under the word and that the word of God will change you. Are you one of the multitude? The sketch of the multitude, the sympathy that he had for the multitude. But I want you to notice there also that he sends, and I've mentioned this briefly already, he sends his church to reach the multitude. And the rest of chapter 9 and right down into 10 covers all of that. When he sends them out, but one thing I want you to notice about this is there is great urgency. There's great urgency in his sending them out. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous. There seems to be a degree of urgency there. And in another place, he says, see ye not that there are still so many months until harvest? Because the fields are already white unto harvest. Harvest is ready to bring in when it's nice and golden, not when it's white. When it's white, it's hard. So there's urgency here. And as you consider yourself tonight, perhaps as one of this multitude, I wonder what all of this is going to mean to you before the night is out. The sketch of the multitude, please don't deny it if that's how you are, still in sin. Sin wound is there. And everything in your life indicates that you're one of those who are without Christ and without hope. But don't forget the sympathy that he had for the multitude, in that he saw them, and he saw them with interest, and he saw them with compassion, and he saw them a way that moved him to do something about it. Then there is the sending of his church for him. That's what we do. We were out yesterday for a lovely day as a church, but we had friends with us who are not saved. And every Christian man and woman here knows that's what we're about. Yes, we love the gathering, we love the fellowship, but as best we can, we're trying to get men and women who are not saved to come with us and to be here. And we can find friends other places, but we want them to come so that they will be reached and that they will be saved. I must end because my time is gone, but I simply want to ask you the question. Are you one of the multitude? The key seems to lie in this whole passage in getting workers into the field. They're here tonight. The prayers, the workers, the teachers, the burden bearers, the helpers, the elders, the deacons, they're all here. And you're here too. I finish again with the question once more. Are you one of the multitude? And please remember that he sent these people out that the lives of the multitude might be transformed. It wasn't just a turning over of a new leaf for a week or two. It was a total transformation. They preached Christ. They preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Do trust that the Lord will bless his word to your heart tonight, and that if you're one of the multitude, that tonight you will come and heed the word and call upon the Lord while he is near here this evening.